Okay, Chevra,
thank you.
So what we're discussing over here are some of the dinim of Hechshar Kelim. And in Kuf Chaf Aleph Se'if Zayin, we discuss how are you machshir a knife. Now the issue of being machshir a knife, like we spoke about yesterday, is that there are three different sugyos, perhaps four, according to the Rambam, about how we're machshir a knife. And the basic steer that the Rishonim ask is a stira between a Gemara in Chulin that says that a knife requires Libun, and the Gemara in Psachim that speaks about some sort of Hag'ala for the knife. And this raises a large slew of questions, for which I think if you count the Rishonim, there's probably five different Mahalchim in Rishonim how to resolve that stira. But we'll talk about a few of them very briefly. So Rabbeinu Tam writes, and it's quoted in Tosfos, both in Avodah Zarah and Tosfos in Psachim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the distinction is a chametz is considered hetera bala as opposed to isura bala, and isura bala would require libun, and hetera bala does not require libun; it requires hag'ala. That is the simple pshat of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam then goes on and he distinguishes between the Sakin Gadol and the Sakin Katan. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Sakin Gadol is probably a knife that you use like for shawarma, a knife that you use when it's mamish al gabe ha'esh, as opposed to the Sakin Katan, which is not a shawarma knife, but a Sakin Katan is probably what we'd call a regular table knife, a regular steak knife, whatever it is. That's a Sakin Katan according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Now for Rabbeinu Tam, the issue is really a Sakin Gadol is used as a shawarma knife. Within the Tosfos, later on, you have other mahalchim. The difference between the Sakin Gadol and the Sakin Katan is whether there are gumos. That a bigger knife is more likely to have gumos as opposed to a smaller knife. And the Gemara already told us at the end of Avodah Zarah that when there are gumos, you can't be machshir a sakin al yedei ne'itza b'karka. And apparently, the Rishonim who say that you need Libun say that because of the Gumos, you can't be Machshir Ayyadei Hag'ala either. No? When the Rishonim are saying that the big knife has Gumos and therefore it needs Libun, what that means is that Hag'ala doesn't help because there are Gumos. And that's probably because the Gumos have some sort of dirt that's inside them. And the Pasuk says, Ach es hazav es hakesef. And Ach, we saw this at the very beginning of the Simen, Ach is like a miut. That means that you have to be a motzi, whatever dirt there is on the knife in order to, or whatever dirt there is on the item in order to do hag'ala. The Rishonim say this is not true by Libun, not as a fundamental matter, but as a practical matter, because by Libun, the Libun will burn away whatever extra stuff there are. So for hag'ala, the knife with its holes in it, not good. But for Libun will work. So that's the mahalach of a difference between a big knife and a small knife. But the way it's presented in the Rabbeinu Tam, the way it is in the Rabbeinu Tam in Meseches Psachim and Pashtus in Avodah Zarah, is that Rabbeinu Tam is combining the two factors. The second opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, when it's Isura Bala and it's a big knife, so therefore you need Libun. No? That is the way I think it comes across in the Tosfos. Now the other Mahalach that's found in the Rishonim is that the Rivam says that a knife needs Libun, and one of you pointed out because of this Yartzei candle, though you should know that the wax in Yartzei candles today is paraffin, it's not really chalav anymore, but because of because of the chalav in the candle, so you're going to use your knife to move it, so therefore it absorbs. And this is what leads to the whole discussion that we had yesterday about whether Libun is required on the entire knife or not, when just the tip of the knife gets the chaylev. Now, the Rishonim point out that the Rivam, who is a machmir, that you need Libun because of the candle, the Rivam is obviously being machmir for the din of miyot tashmisho. Rov tashmisho of the knife is generally not directly al gabi ha'esh. Miyot tashmisho, occasionally you'll use it even though it's al gabi ha'esh, Says the Rivam, you have to be machmir. And l'cha'ora, there is a very strong svara by mi atashmishah should be koveya, because the fact is the knife ended up absorbing direct iser al yedei ha'esh. So of course, it should require libun. The Rivam makes a lot of sense. Nonetheless, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rivam was the Rabbeinu Tam's brother. No, there are three brothers, Rashbam, Rivam, and Tam. Right, the mem at the end tells you that they're all brothers. Okay, whatever. So the Rashbam, the Rivam, and the Rabbeinu Tam asks on the Rivam. He says, "What do you mean? We don't have to be choshish for Mia Tashmisho. We follow Rov Tashmisho." And what we pointed out is that in Siman Tafnun Aleph Se'if Vav, this is a machlokas lahalacha between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Do I follow Rov Tashmisho as the Koveya, or do I say that no, as long as there is a miyot hashmisho, you have to be choshish for the miyot, like the Rivam says. Now, pashtus is that the Rivam is correct. How come the Rabbeinu Tam says that we follow Rov Tashmisho? So the Mishnah Berurah comments that the pashtus in the Rabbeinu Tam is that we're only going to follow miyot hashmisho once we are dealing with the keli she'eino ben yomo. When I have a keli she'eino ben yomo, so the Gemara Sofa Vodazar tells me that we're gozer eino ben yomo atu ben yomo. Once I make the gezer eino ben yomo atu ben yomo, so the whole issue is a din derabanan. So for the din derabanan, I'm not choishish for the miyot hashmisho. That's basically the pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam. I don't really know any other pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam, unless you want to say our razzle dazzle svar that we quoted from Rabbi Eliyav HaKohen in his book at the beginning of his essay on Hechsher Kelim, that if Hechsher Kelim isn't really a matir, if it's fundamentally a mitzvah, so then by all mitzvahs in the Torah, I shtel on rov rather than the miyot, no? If Hechsher Kelim isn't that I have to purge the iser from it, Hechsher Kelim is that the Ribbono Shel Olam tells me I have to do a mitzvah called being mashar the keli, so then I'd understand what Rov Tashmisho, although this itself I think is, how do we say it? Like, Yafa is very far from MS, right? That we'll say it like that. Okay, so that is the discussion in the Tosfos. Now, in my dear beloved friend, our dear beloved friend, apparently that Nusach officially made it to the WhatsApp group now. So in the dear beloved friend, the Megillah Sefer, he raises a question as follows. The Gemara in Pesach Malamed tells me beferish that sakinim for Pesach only require hag'ala, libun is not necessary. And that's because of one of two reasons. Either it's because chametz is hetera bala, or it's because I follow Rav Tashmishai. Now, in Kenem Hadavarim, so the psakim of the Mishnah Drura and the Magen Avraham before him are very difficult, because they are choshesh both for chametz being isura bala and for the miyot tashmisho, which seems to be a stira minei ubei. And they also say that a small knife for Pesach requires libum. Halacha l'maisa, the Svarim say that a small knife for Pesach requires libun, and that itself is very, very difficult. That itself is very problematic. So I don't have a great mahalach, and in the Megillah Sefer on page 251, he basically blibes Shver. He says that the ka'aros that occasionally you use, right, a bowl, is also something about which the discussion of Rav Tashmisho versus Miyot Tashmisho plays a role. So we say that the bowls require libun, because occasionally you bake in them. Why would that be true? L'cha'ora hag'ala is sufficient, because either it's a terebala, or we are not choshesh for the Miyot Tashmisho. And that's a kasha that Reb Kiva Eger asks. So all I can say to answer this a little bit is that you have to read all the Tosfos. We spoke about the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and the Tosfos in Pesach, but there's a third Tosfos, which is a Tosfos in Chulin or Daf Ches. And the Maharam of Lublin in the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah shtels to this Tosfos in Chulin. And the Tosfos in Chulin quotes the Rabbeinu Tam in a slightly different way. That the Rabbeinu Tam is basically saying a clear cut rule.
Where was the Tosfos?
Chulin Daf 8a. Right? So Taisus on Chulin Daf 8 says, according to Rabbi Tam, we're not saying that Hetera, the Chometz is Hetera Bala. That does not exist. The way we have the Taisus in Avodah Zarah and Emsachim, the Rabbi Tam's distinction between big knife and little knife is based on the Hetera Bala Mahalach. Right? And we're saying big knife in the case of Isura Bala, right? Or big knife will be Isura Bala, small knife won't be Ayidei Ha'esh, etc. But the Rabbeinu Tam in the Taisus in Chulin just makes a pure distinction between big knife and little knife and does not say anything that Chometz is called Hetera Bala. Now, if that's the case, so the Rabbeinu Tam might be saying that Chometz is fundamentally Isura Bala. And even so, right, Chometz is Isura Bala. And if that's the case, and then you're choshev for miyot tashmisho, so then you could end up with all of our chogmas. In other words, what the Rebbe Kiva Eger is bothered by is how can you be machmir both for chometz as isura bala and to be machmir to follow the miyot tashmisho when none of the rishonim give that approach? Haner lofi in the istaiti is that if you read the Tosas in Chulin slowly and carefully, Tosas in Chulin presents an approach that can lead in that direction to all the different chumras, kach nirali. Let's just talk for another 2 minutes about Rav Tashmisho versus Miyot Tashmisho. When we learned this originally, we noted that we didn't understand Shulchan Aruch Se'if Chaf. In Shulchan Aruch Se'if Chaf, it says that the Shulchanos, which sometimes have stuff spilling it, you have to kasha the Shulchanos for Pesach. Now we ask the kasha, what do you mean? But my dear Mechaber, you paskin Rav Tashmishai, Rav of the Tashmish of the Shulchan, nothing goes on, so why do you have to kasha Riki Huzeh? So it could be, of course, it's Stamas HaYachumra of Pesach, like we saw the Chatzubah, right? The Chatzubah is a tripod. Who was I speaking with this morning? I was speaking with, Rabbi Eich. Rabbi Eich was trying to convince me that the Chatzubah in Shulchan Aruch is different than the tripods that we have for our pots. See, I don't understand why on earth there could ever be an issue with the Chatzubah, because anything that falls on it's going to be Keneged HaEish, and we saw in Sadi Beis, that whatever falls can negate ha'esh, the esh is sarfo, and therefore there's no concern. So, So Rabbi Eich taina that maybe the chatzubah in Shulchan Aruch is much higher, much taller, so the esh only hits like the bottom of it, and you could have some isser at the top of it, which is not going to be nisraf ayde the esh. That was his argument. Now, I'm not sure about the Metzius, nor am I sure that about the history. I'm not sure about the Metzius, why anyone would ever build. The idea of a chatzubah is that you want the pot to be closer to the fire without getting burned by the fire, so why would you make it very tall? Also, I don't understand whether it actually happened. Did they really make their tripods higher up? I mean, versteh nicht. But be it as it may, it could be that the Nisnamas and Chumra by Pesach, like just like we're Machmir on the Chatzubah, maybe we're Machmir on the Shulchan also. And although the Mechaber fundamentally holds that we follow Rav Tashmishai, but by certain things Minhagim came in, and the Minhag doesn't really meet the din, and that could be the Pshat. Of course, this would be very non-Salavachikian, because the Rav felt that. Well, or very non-gushy, right? Because to say that we just have certain minhagim and these are minhagim, right? We generally assume that minhagim have to meet halachic categories, especially those of us who shave during Sfira, right? We assume that there are categories of avelos, and you have shiva, shleish, and yud beis chodesh, right? And avelos of Sfira can't be more than yud beis chodesh, once you're at a shir ga'ara, you're allowed to shave, right? That's the way the Rav Tav said it. I remember when I was learning with Rabbi Konigsberg, when we were learning Yevamos together, we did like the Sugya Daf Mem Gimel about shaving. So his ha'arah was, who says minhagim really have to be based on halachic categories? That's like such a fundamental yisod in our yeshiva, but mehechatesi is true. Mehechatesi is true. But if minhagim are not based on, we spoke about this once, though. If minhagim are not based on fundamentally on halachic categories, maybe that's the pshat in Shulchanos. However, the Megillah Sefer, page 251, going up to 252 and 253, he develops a yesod that the understanding of Reif Hashmisha and Miyot Hashmisha is very different than we've been saying it. Miyot Tashmisho means something that should not happen at all. If I have a bowl, my bowl is meant to be a cliche that I pour my soup into it. Sometimes you have an individual who does not suffer from the disease of functional fixedness. Right? Functional fixedness is the pshat. Do you look at an object only for its primary use, or do you have a certain degree of creativity that you can use an item for a different use? Right? And sometimes you have a person who's marmer so talented that he knows how to pick his ears with his glasses. Right? Because you don't suffer from functional fixedness, you know how to use an item for a different use. Miyot Hashmisho means I'm using the item for something that's not its intended use. But Lo Yitzuyah, if I have an item that has two intended uses, so that is not considered a din of Miyot Tashmisho versus Reif Tashmisho. That item has Shtei Hishtamshu Yos. That item has two different things. Right, it's almost like Rav Kuttner's Mashal, which is right into like Torah Umada, that a big house is different than two houses. I can have a big house with two separate rooms, and there are two different purposes that I do in that room, but it's still the same house, right? As opposed to being two separate things. Usually I use a ladle to take stuff out of the soup bowl, and the bowl is a bowl. I'm usually using a ladle to take it out of the pot. If I use my bowl as a ladle, that means I'm not suffering from functional fixedness, but that's not intended hishtamshus of the item. So the din of Reif Tashmisho versus Miyot Tashmisho doesn't make sense, as the Megillah Sefer, when I'm talking about something that is the same product. It is the intended use of the product, although it's a miyot of the intended use. And he gives a great raya to this yesod from the din of Amachavas, no? There's a discussion of the Rishonim, where the Machavas requires Liban Hagolah. The Pshat and the Machavas, everybody holds. Right? And the Rishonim actually discuss this. Right? A Machavas will burn out. All the oil will burn out. I sometimes with a pot, the liquid also burns out. So what's the Pshat? So the Pshat is that what? Some Rishonim hold that a Machavas only requires Hagolah, not Liban. I, it burns out. Right, the teretz is, well, you're going to follow Miyot Tashmisho. One second, if you follow Miyot Tashmisho, so right? In other words, basically he puts the Rishonim together. The Rashba says that you need Libon on the Machbas, even though the Rashba is a Rav Tashmisho guy. How come I need Libon on the Machbas if I'm a Rav Tashmisho guy? The teretz is that the Machbas has two Hishtamshu Yos. The Machbas is used, right, both with liquid, and the intended use is that the liquid burns out. And one could argue that that's a fundamental difference between the machvas and the kedera. In the kedera, right, it's never supposed to burn out. In the machvas, it's always supposed to burn out. And that is the fundamental difference. I think he makes this point. I think it's a very strong point. Noting it because it's an issue that I have been bothered by for quite some time. And now I think I have the pshat in Sif Chaf of Tuf Nun Aleph. Can I have permission to go on for 5 more minutes, Chefer? And we'll dive into later? Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Kuf Chaf Beis. One of the guys said, well, Kuf Chaf Beis, isn't that the same as Kuf Gimel? So the answer is kind of, sort of, a little bit, but Kuf Gimel has nice and time of gum in terms of foods, which is basically Kuf Gimel Se'ifim Aleph through Dalad. And then you also have nice and time of gum in Kalim, which comes up a little bit in Kuf Gimel Se'if Hei, but not as much as it comes up in Kuf Chaf Beis. So in Kuf Chaf Beis, it says nice and tam of gam, a kedera she'ena bas yoma, ena bas yoma, we paskin means 24 hours have elapsed, so such a kedera is nice and tam of gam, it won't aser the food. The Mechaber paskins, the kedera she'ena bas yoma, when the Gemara says sofa vodazad, it goes she'ena bas yoma, atu bas yoma, that means that we make the gezeira both by Isser and by Basar Techolav and by Hetera Bola. The Ra'ah on Daf Lamed Vav B'dape HaTorah Sabayis HaOrech, the Ra'ah says that we don't make a gezeira of Eino Basiyama Atu Basiyama by Hetera Bola, right? That's why the Ra'ah had one set of dishes, and the Ritva said my Rebbe had one set of dishes, and the Talmidim didn't eat in the Rebbe's house, right? That's what we saw already. I think he wrote Kol Talmid of Chol Kolav. I think that's what he said. I'm adding the thing about not eating in the Rebbe's house. It's like my editorial comment. But we noted that this question really depends on the Machlokas Rishonim as to how you answer Taisus Kasha in Avodah Zarah Ayin Vav. Taisus asks a Kasha, how come there's a din that nice and tam with gam is usher lechatchila by kelim but not by eichlam? But that's why this is kasha. And the Rishonim have a few different mahalchim to answer this kasha, and these are all going to be relevant lahalacha. One mahalach that the Rishonim say is that by the keli, the tchilas bili usay was l'shevach, as opposed to by the Eichel, when the Tchilas Bli Asay is Lefgam. Another Mahalach that they say, the Hagos HaShri has this, is that a Keli is Shayich to Kasher. Eichlem, Ein Hagolah Ba'ochlem. The third Mahalach is that since it's Aser to do Nosin Tan Lefgam anyway, so you're not going to have a situation when the town of Gam enters an Eichel, because the town of Gam won't enter the Eichel, because in order to do that, you had to violate an Avera already, and Achinu B'nei Yisrael don't violate Averas. So it's Milsad Lo Shchicha to have the time in the Eichel, so Lo Gazru. But it is Milsad Shchicha to have the time in the Kelei, so therefore Gazru. Those are the three Mahalchim. The third approach is the Rush's approach. Now, what we noted, and the Pre-Megodim said this in Sadi Gimel, kind of the Havla'ah, what we noted is that Taisus is Mahalach, that the Keli was Tchilas B'liyoso L'Shevach, as opposed to the Eichel, it's Tchilas B'liyoso L'Gam. That Mahalach is basically saying that, you know what, whenever you have Tchilas Bli Asai L'Shevach, you have to be Machmir. No? One second. Right, Tchilas. Whenever you have Tchilas Bli Asai L'Fgam, you're Mekel. Whenever you have Tchilas Bli Asai L'Shevach, you are going to be Machmir. So by the Keli, I'm Machmir. What about a Keli that absorbed Heter? I also have to be Machmir, no? Right, that's the way it works. You have the Goyin over here in Sadi Beis. No, you don't have Sadi Beis in this one. So the Goyin in Sadi Beis had a different take on the Taisvis. I think the Goyin's take on the Taisvis is the way I just said it. The Nusach of Taisvis ends up being the same as the Ra'ah. This is what happens when I don't bring Svarim. Right? The Nusach HaTosfos ends up being the same as the Ra'ah. The Gaon's take on Tosfos ends up saying that we're going to be Machmir on a Keli that absorbed Keter because of its Tchilas B'liyos or L'Shevach. That's going to be like what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that Regoza Eino Ben Yomo Atu Ben Yomo by Basar and Cholav, against the Ra'az approach. The Hagos HaShri's approach, that Kalim you could kasher, and therefore we answer the Kalim with Nosin Kam of God, but you can't kasher the Eichon. This leads the Minchas Yaakov on the bottom of the Taras Chatos in the Simon Pei Gimel O Samach Dalin, the Minchas Yaakov says, oh, in Canaan had the Varims and Kli Cheres that you can't kasher, so therefore we're not going to be going to Eino Ben Yomo Atu Ben Yomo. Now, everyone, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this at the beginning of Kuf Chaf Beis and Sifkat and Aleph. Everyone disagrees with the Minchas Yaakov. Minchas Yaakov himself quotes a Tshuva from these people I never heard of who disagree. And the Chora, it's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara tells me in Chulin Kuf Yod Aleph on the Beis that there was a Pinka Bei Reb Ami. There is like a earthenware keli in Reb Ami's home, which they used to salt meat in it, so therefore it absorbed the dam. And the Gemara says that they broke it. Rashi writes the Pinkos Klicheres. Why do you have to break it? If I'm not Geizer, Eino Ben Yoimai, Otu Ben Yoimai by Klicheres, because it will get destroyed. The only Gezerah is by a keli that you could kasher, so why do they have to destroy the Pinka? So you see, Beferish from that Gemara, that we don't hold like the Minchas Yaakov. That Gemara is also a Beferish Araya that I don't hold like the Noida Yehuda that's going to Pizchei Tshuva, Sifkata, and Beis. No? Noida Yehuda tells me that I only make the Gezerah Eino Ben Yoma Atu Ben Yomo by Isurim de Oraisa. By an Issa de Rabbanon, unless you have a Keli that absorbed Bishol Akram, a Keli that absorbed Chalas Chutzar, so a Keli that absorbed Trumas Umaisus Bisman Hazeh, something like that, Keli that absorbed any Issa de Rabbanon, so the Nagy Huda Tainis, I'm not Gozer, Engel Ben Yomo, Atu Ben Yomo. But that Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Yud Aleph, Amid Beis, about the Pinka, so the Gemara says that it was Dam in the Pinka, it was salted. Dam shenimlach is only osir midrabonim. The isr dam is only a dam shaloi nimlach, no? So memela, right? I still say that the keli is osir. They had to destroy the keli. Zetnin against the Nodav Yehuda. Right? That gemara is a raya against the Nodav Yehuda twofold. However, and the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that the Taz and Simen Sadi, Sifkatin Yud Beis, is also against the Nodav Yehuda. See, the Nodav Yehuda is basically assuming that you can't have a gezeira on something which is fundamentally an Isser D'Rabbanan. You have Shachter land, which, by the way, is unlike Shachter land, is the world's second best amusement park. In your Shachter land, there's a difference between gezeiras D'Rabbanan and Isurim D'Rabbanan. No. Dam shemolcho, dam shemishloi. The pashtus is that midrabbonon we treat it like dam. It's not a gezeira atu dam, right? So memil v'machir. It could be that the Nodav Yehuda is taina that I'm not going to make a gezeira of eino ben yomo atu ben yomo. That really makes sense if it's a type of iser drabbonon which fundamentally is a gezeira. But let's say I have an iser drabbonon that's fundamentally an iser, not a gezeira. So then, maybe it doesn't make sense. Yesh lachkar many of the Yisrim derabonim. Chol of Akum, for example. Is Chol of Akum a gezeirah derabonim? Because maybe it's going to have some Chol of Behemoth Meya mixed in? Or is Chol of Akum an Isser derabonim? No? Is it gezeirah Isser? The Nachamina is one could accept the Nodav Yehuda by certain Yisurim D'Rabbanan, but not accept the Nodav Yehuda by other Yisurim D'Rabbanan based on these principles that we just mentioned. Now, the third issue that comes up here in the Pesachei Tshuva and Sifkat and Gimel Kuf Chaf Beis, which is, by the way, the Prima Godin in Kuf Gimel, Sif Seidah, Sif Katin, Yud Zayin, is Marech on this question. And that is the famous question of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi basically was confronted with the question that someone used a pot, a chametzik pot that had already yishun for a very, very, very long time, and we're machin nice and tanlif gam on chametz. So is the food going to be kosher or not? So the pashtus is, the Rabbanim said, the food's going to be also nice and tamif gam. Says the Chacham Tzvi, but it's like a reductio ad absurdum argument, it's not conceivable that shemamish be also. You're going to tell me that ain gavolah zeh. Let's say you have a 1,000-year-old pot. Let's say you go on an archaeological dig, and you find a pot, and it's a chametz sick of pot, and then you cook with it on Pesach. It's going to be also. It's 1,000 years old. How could it be also? The Chacham Tzvi says, you know what, there has to be some Gevurah. I don't know what the Gevurah is. Is the Gevurah 2 months? Because in Hilchos Pesach, we have a case that I have a Chavis. And inside the Chavis, you have some Batzik that you put there in the Chavis in order to make sure it doesn't leak out. So if the Batzik has been there for 2 months, it doesn't create a problem. So you can't say that 2 months is the amount of time. But maybe 2 months is only the amount of time because the Yayin and the Batzik don't react after 2 months. The Batzik is completely dry after 2 months. At least, says the Chacham Tzvi in Siman Ayin Hey, at least after Yud Beis Chayidesh, it's not going to be nice and kind of gam. Even. At least after Yud Beis Chayidesh, it's the Ilu Sorif with Gamre, and the Yud Nosin Tam of Gam is Mamish, weakened, it's not even Nosin Tam of Gam after Yud Beis Chayidesh. The Raya for that is from Mishnayis and Gemaris and Abu Dazar about Chartzanim and Zag. Chartzanim are like grape pits. Zag is grape skin. It's actually machlokes in Nozir. What is the charetzon? What's the zag? Is the charetzon the stuff in the middle? The zag is the outside. Is a punfaker. Whatever it is, but yishun yud beis chaydesh helps. Shemarim the sediment from wine after yud beis chaydesh. It's not a problem. Says the Chacham Tzvi who had been over here. Now, this itself is not so pashut. The Chacham Tzvi is applying a din of yibush on the davar be'en to a din of yibush on the bliya inside a kelim. Svarin says that things dry up more when they are exposed to the air, but when it's already below it in the kelim, the chachora, it dries less. So one could argue such a distinction. And the Pisvei Shuva, we have quotes in the Panim Me'iros, and he quotes from others, that there are many distinctions. Even the Chacham Tzvi is only Megal on Chametz B'Pesach and on Yayin Nesek, right? He is not Megal. This is very important. The Chacham Tzvi is not Megal on Yishin Yud Beis Chodesh by Sha'ari Surim. Chacham Tzvi is only Megal by Chametz B'Pesach and Yayin Nesek, since those Yisurim told Yud Beis Chodesh would answer even B'di Eben, so therefore, after Yud Beis Chodesh, he's willing to be Megal. But by Sha'ari Surim, Chacham Tzvi is not Megal. Who is Mekel by Sha'ari Surim? Hagoyim of Moshe Feinstein, Chelak Beis of Yevidei Simin Mem Vav, Chelak Gimel Simin Chav Vav Ois. Hey, but Moshe Feinstein is Mekel in the case of a vow teshuva. Sometimes you get a set of dishes, where, but let's talk about the other way. You become frum. You become frum. That's the case of Moshe. And after you become frum, you realize, oh my gosh, my dishes are treif. You haven't used the dishes in the whole year. Says with Moshe, you could be mekel with yishun yud beis chaydesh, with hagolas gimel pa'amim of the baal ha'iter, with the fact that most dishes are only going to be a kli sheni. So with Moshe's mekel based on all those svaris. Now, he's also mekel based on the svar that kli cheres, when that goes there, eno ben yom alter ben yom, the minchas. Yaakov's Svara. Right? All of these Svaras are very difficult. And the Tzushto to the Chacham Tzvi is exceedingly difficult because Chacham Tzvi is only Mekel Chametz for Pesach and on Yayin Nesach. So that Reb Moshe is exceedingly difficult. Now, Ken Zayin, that you have other kulas that you could use. Ken Zayin, you don't have to come on to the Chacham Tzvi to be Mekel on the porcelain. Reb Moshe is only willing to make up because he says it's like takonas hashovim, right, etc. Now, part of the discussion over here is, let's say I have one plate that is treif, right? One porcelain plate. Is that considered a situation of hefsin meruba? Some of them are fresh, and the Prima Gadim in Kuf Gimel is inclined that maybe Malkam hefsin meruba, you can be make up like the Chacham Tzvi. But there's a truth of Reb Kivi Eger, Simen Mem Gimel, that just the hefsin meruba has to be a one item, the item itself is a hefsa meruba. Oven is hefsa meruba. The whole thing costs like $5,000. One plate? What's a plate worth? A couple of dollars. Narvas, this plate is part of a set. And the set, right, sahako, is worth a few thousand dollars. But this one plate isn't worth that much. Says the Pisrei Chubi Yosef Katan Gimel, Kenzine, that's not called hefsa meruba. That nekuda, this strong room to be makel. If you look in the tshuva of Yabi'a Omer, Maran Chacham Ovadia Yosef, Zichuto Yagen Alenu, Chelek Yoridei Aleph Siman Vav, Maran Chacham Ovadia Yosef, quotes the entire Diyun in the poskim. When can you be meko like the Chacham Tzvi or not? When can you be meko like the Baal HaItor? Basically, we learned lots of kulas. It would seem that there is a lot to rely on in some of these cases, even more than Reb Moshe, but Lav Nitaime. I don't know if you can really invoke the Chacham Tzvi. I don't know if you can invoke the Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi himself is not meko, unless it's Chometz or Yayin Esek. But you have the svar, if it's Nifsak HaKiluach, then maybe relying on the Baal HaItor of HaGolas Gimel Pum, like you said from the Shevet HaLevi. The Minchas Yaakov, perhaps you could rely on B'makayim, Hefsa Meruba. What other svaras do we have over here? Maybe it's a suffix to begin with. Maybe it's an Issa D'Rabbanan to begin with. If it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, you have Noig B'Yehuda to rely on. But we can put together a lot of different svaras, etc. Now, there is, if you look in the Badei HaShulchan in Kuf Gimel, Sif Katin Mem Ches, in the Tziyunim over there, he points out that he thinks the Prima Gunda made a certain mistake in understanding the Panim Mi'iros. Whatever it is, this is what we have in Kuf Chaf Beis. Okay, gentlemen, we should have a wonderful Shabbos. We should try to get to Second Seder. I apologize, on behalf of President Berman, we apologize for the delay in today's sharing. Thank you for listening, and thank you for staying.